Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Kuf Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin from the lower part of Daf Kuf Ches Omid Beis. There is a Tanaic source that you can see at the bottom that continues to the top of Kuf Tes Omid Aleph. Tonu Rabbonan. Hakol chayovin ba'arbo'o koisus halolu, echod anoshim ve'echod noshim ve'echod tinoikais. Everyone is obligated with regard to fulfilling the mitzvah of four kosos, men, women, and even children. Regarding the issue of the children, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and with our markings, we've indicated this with a little aleph over the word tinokos, as the Tanakhama said it, and a beis over Rabbi Yehuda, indicating that it's on this point that they disagree. Om Rabbi Yehuda, v'chima toyelos yesh lo tinokos b'yayin. What benefit do the little kids have, the children have, from wine? We're talking about those that are under bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah. They're potter from mitzvahs. They're exempt from mitzvahs. So to use the expression that they are chayav, that they are obligated in it, would be inappropriate. Elo, mechalkin lohen kloyos ve'egoizen be'erev Pesach. Rabbi Yehuda takes a different approach with regard to the children and says that we distribute to them kloyos, are roasted grains. They're usually, when roasted, wheat becomes sweet. It's a form of natural or healthy candy, and it goes in nuts. We distribute this to them, be'erev Pesach, and this is a motivating factor, kidei shelo yishnu v'yishalu, so that they don't go to sleep, and that they will participate in the Seder night and ask questions. The focus of the Seder night is the focus is essentially on the children as a kiyum of the mitzvah v'igadeta l'bimcha b'yomahu, that we are passing the torch of tradition down to the next generation, and in order to get full mileage out of this educational experience, it's through a question and answer method, which is one of the definitions that is given to the term Haggadah. The term Haggadah includes the idea of question-answer. So we're very interested in the children remaining attentive. So in order to motivate that, we distribute these delicacies, as far as children are concerned, the roasted grains and nuts, in order to keep them awake so that they don't fall asleep, and by staying awake, they'll be motivated to participate and ask questions. Omru alav al Rabbi Akiva. It's mentioned about Rabbi Akiva shoyim machalek klois vegoizin latinokos be'erev Pesach kidei shelo yishnu v'yishalu. He actually practiced this. He gave out these things to the children so that they would not fall asleep, and they would thereby be motivated and inspired to see, watch what's going on, and that would motivate them to ask questions. And of course, we, the adults, are expected to provide answers which will solidify the Pesach story in their minds, and will accomplish the mitzvah of the Higadeta L'Bincha. Tanya, another Tanaic source, you can see in our Gemara markings, the Tanaic sources appear in framed sections so as to set them apart from the rest of the Gemara literature. In fact, as you scan ahead on a page like this, you'll see that more than half of it contains Tanaic references. On the outside margin, we have a nosei, a topic heading, Ma she'oisim kidei shelo yishnu ha'tinokos. The different measures we take so as to ensure that the children do not fall asleep. Of course, fall asleep during the Seder night. Tanya, Rebbe Lezer Omer, Choytfin. The next word, there's a girsa that says matzah. Choytfin matzah, belele psachim. Bishvil tinoikos shelo yishnu. There are numerous explanations to explain this phrase. In fact, the Rashbam himself has three different explanations. The explanation that we will use right now is found in the Rashbam. Actually, if we already have the Rashbam handy, right at within eye's reach, you'll notice the three are enumerated. Choytfin matzvah. So number one, magbien es hakeora b'shvil tinokas shishalu. This refers to the raising of the plate, the Seder plate, which contained the matzahs. There's numerous references, even though the different types of Seder plates are marketed, there were Seder plates, and still are, those that have matzahs as part of them. Some of them are marketed with shelves underneath the Seder plate that contains the matzahs. So the choytfin, according to this pirush, means the raising of the plate with the matzahs, and that would inspire children to ask, hey, what's going on? And that will motivate an answer, and we will be accomplishing our goal. The second approach, v'istim, for she choytfin matzvah, means oichlin maher. That in the Seder night is a time that we would eat quickly so as to make sure that the kids don't fall asleep because of lateness of the hour. Shnei Lishon Salo Pirush Rabbeinu. These two explanations are found in the Pirush of Rabbeinu. V'yesh Gorsim Mitzvos. There's another girsa that has the word is instead of matzah, like we suggested, the word mitzvos, magbina sekora, sheish bo, matzamoro shnei tavshilin, that the keora, this girsa really accepts the first explanation that was given here in the name of Rabbeinu, but the girsa being mitzvos, indicating that it's a picking up of the keora that has in it different mitzvos, namely the matzah, the mor, and the two tavshilin. The linear choytfin is misalkenes alechem miyad hatinokos shelo yishem mitoch maichel harbe kederach hatinok achar chilosa v'shuv lo yishalu. The Rashbam's pshat that he likes, choytfin, is a lotion of grabbing away, that we grab away the food from the children who may be interested in eating right at the beginning of the Seder. They want to eat, and as one knows, after a meal, the Rashbam emphasizes here, children get tired, and if they get tired, they'll fall asleep and won't ask the questions that we are so looking forward to. So that we take away from them we take the bread out of their mouth, so to speak. In this case, it would be matzah. Turning now to the Gemara, back to the Gemara. Omru alav al Rabbi Akiva. Miyomav lo higia lo omar higia eis lamo de beis hamedrash. Rabbi Akiva never announced that it's time to finish the learning session, chutz mi'arve psachim ve'erev yom hakipurim, with the exception of these two occasions, on erev Pesach and erev Yom Kippur. The Bryce explains, number one, ba'arve psachim b'shvil tinoikos kedei shelo yishnu. He would announce the end of the learning session on Erev Pesach so as to have the, according to the simple explanation, but we will elaborate on this a bit more in a moment, so as to ensure that the children go to sleep by day and are up at night, so that they will ask the questions and participate in the Seder. The Erev Yom HaKippurim Kedei Shiachilu Es Bneim. The end of the learning session was announced by Rabbi Kiva on Erev Yom Kippur so as to have the fathers rush home to feed their children, so that the children will be able to fast a portion of Yom Kippur as part of chinuch, as part of education for the mitzvah of Yom Kippur. Let us turn momentarily to the Tosfos at the top of the page. Chutz me'arvei psochim. Hochi Garsinon, the Girsa of me'arvei, Hochi Goras, Rabbeinu Shmuel. That's the Rabbeinu Shmuel's Girsa. Velo Nihira. The Tosfos doesn't accept that Girsa, this version, this text of Chutz me'arvei psochim. The Otu, because if you use this Girsa, you're really saying that Rabbi Kiva would announce on the late, during the late afternoon of the 14th of Nisan, that the learning session has come to an end. And the explanation we gave was that the fathers would leave the Beis Medrash, rush home to put their children to sleep so that they'll be up at night. So he asks, is it necessary to have fathers that put their children to sleep? The otu lo yuchlu lishon below avien. Is it impossible for them to sleep without their fathers? That you have to interrupt the learning seder in order for the fathers to put the kids to sleep? V'tam sheni shapire shemo yakfu ad sheefshach harbe. And the second explanation that Rabbeinu Shmuel offers is that it's important to interrupt the session, the learning session by day, is that if not, they might get delayed until it gets very dark, until it gets late into the night, and then only then return home from the learning. Im kein lo hayutzrichim lamod biyom ki'im balayla. If that be the case, so then Rabbi Akiva should simply announce the learning session ends at the beginning of the night. Why by early? Why by the while it was still daytime? Therefore, the Tosfos prefers the announcement that Rabbi Kiva said that the learning session ends. He was referring to not Arvei Psochem, but Lele Psochem. Lele meaning the nighttime of Pesach. Outside of the Seder night, it was actually quite common for people to learn in the Beis Medrash during Yom Tov, the nighttime of Yom Tov. Kinamrinan, as the Gemara says in Masechas Beisa, Maisa b'Shimon Atimni Shelobo b'Leile Yom Tov l'Beis HaMedrash, where he, as an exception, didn't come Leil Yom Tov to the Beis Medrash. And L'mochar Motzor Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova. That's a Gemara in Masechas Beitza. For our purposes, though, Tosfos is citing that as a proof that Leil Yom Tov people were in the Beis Medrash. So Rabbi Akiva, when it came to Leil Pesach, would insist on people not remaining in the Beis Medrash so as to participate or conduct the Seder, the Pesach Seder. Turning back to the Gemara. Tonu Rabbanan, Chayav Odom L'Sameach Bonov Uvnei Beiso Boregel. The Nosei topic, by the way, the topic heading that we've assigned to this Gemara is B'ma Mekaimim Simcha. Through what do we fulfill the Torah Simcha requirement? Simcha, loosely translated as joy. So the Brisa tells us that a person is obligated to make sure that his children and his wife experience simcha during the regel, the holiday. Shnemar, the Brisa quotes a pasuk. There's one in the text in the Brisa itself says v'somachta b'chagecha. On the side, there's an alternative suggestion v'somachta ata ubeischa. The Gemara continues b'me mesamchom. Through what does he accomplish this? So b'yayin. Through wine, the Tosfos points out, the Tosfos across from here says, that's nowadays. When the Beis HaMikdash was around, Simcha was accomplished through the eating of meat, of korbonos, of sacrifices. This will be mentioned later on this particular daf of Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Anoshim Beroi Lehem, V'Noshim Beroi Lehem. Rabbi Yehuda says, in a more specified fashion, simcha is accomplished for men through that which is fitting for them, and for women with that which is fitting for them. Anoshim b'roi lehem is b'yayin. On that point, there doesn't seem to be any disagreement. And v'noshim b'mai, Toni Rav Yosef, how is simcha accomplished with regard to women? So Rav Yosef offers the following Tanaic source, b'bovel, Bevigdei Tzivonim. In Bavel, women wore colored clothing, and apparently that would provide women with their simcha. Beretz Yisrael, the practice was different. In Israel, Bevigdei Pishton Meguhatzim, with pressed linen clothing. Pishton or linen, Meguhatzim, pressed clothing. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, Bezman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayom, when the Beis HaMikdash was built, Ein Simcha Elo B'Basar. Simcha was accomplished through the eating of the meat of sacrifices. Shenemar, V'zavachta Shlomim, V'ochalta Shom, V'samachta Lefnei Hashem Elokecha. So, as the pasuk indicates, there were Shlomim were slaughtered and offered, and one would eat and achieve Simcha. The Achshav She'ein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, now that unfortunately the Beis HaMikdash is not built, Ein Simcha L'Yayin. Simcha is accomplished only through wine. Shenemar V'Yayin Yisamach Levav Enosh. Wine causes joy to the heart of man. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a triangle symbol, a triangle form, which is featured in our Mivneh heading in the outside margin. Gimel Meimros, there are three comments, Be'inyin Kalim Shemisharin Bahen Shi'ur Revius. Vessels that are used for establishing the quantity, the liquid quantity of a Revius. And we've mentioned already a few times in our Sugis that the Shi'ur for drinking for the Arba Kaisis, the Shi'ur is a Revius. How much is that? So the Gemara cites points of relevance to someone who was living at the time of the Gemara will appreciate some of these things a little more, as you will see shortly. Omar Rav Yitzchok, Kasta de Murisa, de Have Bit Sipuri. Murisa is a fish type of dish. Kasta is the name of a vessel that represented a specific quantity. So the cast of Murisa, this midah through which they sold Murias, fish parts, the Havah B'Tzibor that was in the town of Tzibori, he Havis Kemin Luga the Mikdasha. It held the same quantity as the lug of the Beis HaMikdash. Uba Misharin Revius Shel Pesach. And through that vessel, this cast of the Murisa, that was in Tzipori, one could calculate what the quantity of the revius that's required for Pesach. How would you do that? So you would take this kasta marisa and divide it into four equal size cups. Each cup would have in it a revius. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, tamnaisa kadmaisa dehave b'teveria, the early tamnaisa vessel, tamnaisa being the name of a vessel with a specific quantity. So the early Tamnaisa that was in Tveria, Tveria being a community in Israel, Havis Yesera Alda was greater than the current Tamnaisa Riv'a. It was a Revius greater. In other words, there was a readjustment in quantities so that the new Tamnaisa is a smaller quantity than the original Tamnaisa. Ubo Misharin Revius Shel Pesach. And with this, we are able to calculate the Revius of Pesach. Well, how is that accomplished? If one has an old Tamnaisa vessel, he would fill it up, pour from it into the new Tamnaisa, the new smaller Tamnaisa vessel. That quantity that remains in the larger old Tamnaisa vessel, that quantity is a Revius. Omar of Chista, Revius Shel Torah, the Torah quantity of Revius, and he will give us dimensions now that are not liquid in nature, but they're, we can refer to them as let's say, linear dimensions, that through which we would be able to create a vessel of with these dimensions that are coming. And if you fill up the following vessel with these dimensions, the liquid contained therein will be a revius. And so Rav Chisda says, revius shel Torah equals etzbo'ayim al etzbo'ayim. You would take a vessel that's two fingers by two fingers, length and width,
the room in, with the height of etzpo'ayim v'chetzi etzba v'choymesh etzba, which equals a total of 2 7/10 fingers in height. So 2 by 2 by 2 7/10, this is a cubic measure. If you fill up a vessel that has these dimensions, you will know that that contains a revius. Kedisanya, and this is borne out in the following teaching. We must point out, though, that the following teaching, the following Tanaic source, does not deal with a revius. It deals with a much larger quantity, the quantity necessary for a mikveh, a ritual immersion pool. A mikveh. A mikveh contains 40 sa'a. Now, 40 sa'a is a liquid measure that we will try to create a ratio, if you will, between the linear dimensions of the pool that contains 40 sa'a and the linear dimensions of the vessel that contains the liquid of a revius. So, once, if we understand this relationship, we will then understand that when we describe that the shear of a mikveh that contains 40 sa'a, 40 sa'a, by the way, contains within it 3,840 revius, if you make the assumption that we've done presenting the numbers on Amud Beis of the Gemara, where one mikveh has 40 sa'a, and one saw contains within it 6 kav, which is equal to 24 lug, which in turn is equal to 96 revius, because one lug is 4 revius. If you take 24 and multiply it by 4, you get to 96. So one saw contains 96 revius. 40 saw would be a multiplication of 40 times 96. That will give you 3,840. So that the dimensions of a mikveh, which happen to be 1 amo by 1 amo by 3 amos, that's a cubic measure, it's 1 by 1 by 3, 3 cubic amos, will be, in fact, an amount that contains 40 sa'a. So if you were to take that cubic amount and divide it by 3,840, you will come out with a cubic measure of 2 by 2 by 2 7/10 etzbaos. So as we go on the Gemara, bear in mind this fact that we are not going to present to you a quantity of the linear dimensions of a revius in the source, but rather of a mikveh that contains 40 sa'a. Kedisanya, the source, begins with a pasuk, V'rochatz b'mayim es kol besoro. This pasuk is a reference to the immersion in a mikveh. Shelo yehi dover chotzeitz bein besoro l'mayim. We learn from this that there should be no interposition, anything on the flesh of the person immersing in the mikveh. The water should come into direct contact with all of his body flesh. B'mayim b'mei mikveh. The immersion is not in a river, but rather in a mikveh. Es kol besaro, mayim shekol gufo oyle bohen. The pasuk, when it says es kol besaro, is referring to a quantity of water, an amount of water that the entire person's body can be immersed in it. Vekamohen, of course, dealing with the average individual, how much water, what is the dimensions for this? Amo al amo barum shalosh amos. It's 1 by 1 amo, length and width, and in the height of 3 amos. A pool containing those dimensions will be sufficient, will contain enough water for a person to immerse his bodily totally within the water. V'shiaru chachomim shiur mei mikveh arboim saw. And the chachomim calculated that this, the pool that contains these dimensions, will contain a liquid measure of 40 sa'a. And as we've presented on the side of our Gemara, the quantities of 40 sa'a translate into 3,840 revios.
As we continue in the Gemara, we notice that we have a nekuda aruka, a long point, followed by a rejection of the point indicated by the encircled dalet, all of this to the left-hand side of the Gemara text. The topic that will be discussed is featured under our Nosei heading in the outside margin, the Nosei, Tevilas HaShulchan Shel Beis HaMikdash, the immersion of the Shulchan. This was the golden table that sat in the Heichal containing the Lechem HaPonim. If it needed to be immersed, so it had to be immersed, as will be described in the Gemara. The Gemara will be preoccupied with the dimensions of the Shulchan, and the ability of to immerse it in a mikveh with the dimensions that we have already seen assigned to a mikveh. Omar of Ashi, Omar li Rovin bar Chinina, Shulchan shel Mikdash. Rav Ashi tells us that Rovin told him that the Shulchan of the Beis HaMikdash that had a width of one amah, that Shulchan was shel prokim havei, it was made of sections, that even though it stood as a singular Shulchan, it was nevertheless modular in the sense that it could be taken apart and reassembled. That's shel prokim. It had to be this way, says Rovin, de'i sakadaita haduki havei mehadik, if you were to think that it's one solid piece that cannot be disconnected, amsa be'amsa hechi mitbalei. The shulchan that had a width of an amma, how could you fit that which measures an amma into a mikveh which itself is one amma? If you want to put item B into unit A, item B has to have a smaller dimension than the dimension of the item into which you want to insert it. At this point, then, we see the point. The point of Rovin is that because of the need to have the shulchan at times immersed in a mikveh, the shulchan itself that had a Torah width of one amma, therefore had to be made of sections, and you could, that if in the event that it needed to be immersed, it could be disconnected. The Gemara is docha this, pushes this out, rejects this point, says, my kushya, why does the issue of immersion present a challenge to us whatsoever, and as a result of that to conclude that the table was definitely made of sections? Dilma b'yam she'osu Shlomo havin matbilei. Maybe the shulchan was immersed in the pool that King Solomon, that Shlomo HaMelech made. This was an immersion pool, a very large mikveh that he built in the Azorah of the Beis HaMikdash. The Tani Rabbi Chiya presents the following teaching: Yam Shosu Shlomo Machzik Meo V'Chamish Mikveh Tara. The Yam Shosu Shlomo, the pool that Shlomo constructed, contained 150 mikvos, meaning the quantity of 150 mikvos was the size of the Yam Shosu Shlomo. If that be the case, there was plenty of room to immerse the Shulchan even without having to take it apart. And therefore, the Shulchan may in fact been one solid piece, according to this approach. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have a note at the outside margin called Nosei Kloli, the general topic heading, and we've indicated that this general topic actually extends quite a bit. It goes to Kuf Yud Dalet Omid Aleph, and it deals with many different topics, including Zugos. Zugos is a term in our context which means even numbered items. This will bring us to an area of what we sometimes refer to as mysticism, topics that one has to understand that there's a much deeper meaning than that goes way, way beyond the translation that we will be offering in the context of our shiurim. But being that our shiurim are designed to present the daf yomi in a reasonable amount of time,
that precludes any possibility of delving into the depths of the topics that will be mentioned under this heading of Zugos. There will be other topics in Yonei Zihirus, other things from which a person should guard himself, be careful, and the Eitzos Tovos and a number of pieces of good counsel that will appear in these upcoming pages of Gemara. The Gemara opens up with a question based on, of course, a major assumption here, and that is that the assumption being that things of an equal number, let us say drinking equal numbers of cups of wine, using the Gemara's example in our general example, how could it be that, let's mention once again, that equal numbers presents a danger that arises on the part of, through the involvement of, we'll call them spiritual forces, and spiritual does not always mean positive. Spiritual would be something that simply cannot be evaluated through scientific measuring devices, but they nevertheless exist. These spiritual forces come and present danger to someone who practices the drinking of equal numbers, of even numbers of items, in this case cups of wine. So how is it that the Chachomim established a mitzvah of Arba Kosos when Arba is a number of Zugos, it's an even number, when this could bring a person to a point of sakona, of danger? That's the question the Gemara will raise. After the Gemara raises the question, which lasts a couple of lines, and you can see this through the long question marking the kuf that's encircled to the right-hand side of the Gemara text, and the vertical line that follows, after that, the Gemara introduces answers that are indicated by triangles, and under our Nosei Mivneh heading in the outside margin, you see a triangle featured, and it says, Shalosh Tshuvos, three answers, Eich Chazal Tiknu Arba Kosos, how could the Chazal establish a mitzvah of four cups, kishyodua shu mispar zugi, when it's known that that is an even number, and as we said, an even number can present a challenge or a danger to one who drinks it? The Gemara. The Mishnah said, v'lo yifchesu lo me arba, that even the oni shall not have less than four cups. The Gemara asks, heichi misakni rabbonon, midi de'osi ba lidei sakona, how could the rabbis establish the drinking of four cups, which is something that could lead to danger through this issue called zugos? V'hatanya, we have the following Tanaic source, lo yochal odom trei, a person should not eat two items, v'lo yishte trei, and not drink two cups, v'lo yikaneach trei, and not wipe himself twice, v'lo yase tzrochav trei, and he should not engage in marital relations twice, one after the other. So we see from here that trei, being two, an even number, is representative of danger. Omer Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman answers, you're asking how the Rabbanan can establish a mitzvah involving drinking of four cups. He says, Omer Kral, the Pasuk says, Leil Shimurim, regarding Pesach night, it's described as Leil Shimurim. Shimurim means something that's guarded. Leil HaMeshumur Bo Min HaMazikin, it's a nighttime where there is protection from these injurious forces, the Mazikin, forces that are of injurious nature. Rava Omar, Rava has a different approach. He says, Kois Shel Brocha. Kois Shel Brocha is a reference to the Kois of Birchas HaMazon, which is the third cup, the number three in the series of four. That cup, mitztaref letoiva, v'eino mitztaref lera'a. Mitztaref letoiva means that in the event that someone drank an even number, let's say he drank two cups, upon drinking the third cup, the third neutralizes the effect that having drunk two might have had. So that's neutralizing the negative effect that two may have had. That's mitzaref letova. However,
Three, it's not mitztarif l'raw. That means, and this point is most germane to our discussion, it does not add up to raw, which means that in the event that a person drank three, the number three does not link up with a number four. So that in order to get to four, you have to go through three. But if we say that the third is absent, so to speak, in this particular calculation, therefore there is no danger in drinking the four cups. Because the four cups of the Seder night, number three of the four, is the cup of Birchas Hamazon. But it doesn't connect up with the number four that follows. Hence, there is no danger posed by drinking four. Ravina Omar, a third approach, Arbo Kosi Tekin Rabbonon Derecherus. The Rabbonon set up the mitzvah of drinking four cups in the way or in the spirit of freedom. Kochad v'chad mitzvah ba'api nafsho hu. Each cup is a separate mitzvah, is a separate entity. When we say a separate mitzvah, we mentioned this on previous occasions, the first cup is associated with Kiddush. The second cup is associated with the recitation of the Haggadah, which is a separate mitzvah. The third cup is connected with the Birchas Hamazon, which is a separate mitzvah altogether. And the fourth cup is associated with the recitation of the Hallel. So each cup is a separate mitzvah, so they don't link up, they don't connect up one with the other. And therefore, there is no problem with zugos in this context. At this point, you see an arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating Kuf Tes Omid Beis. This is a quote from that which was mentioned on Kuf Tes Omid Beis. If you scan down the left-hand side of the Gemara text, you will notice an arrow indicating Kuf Yud Omid Aleph. This is a quote from there. It says, Lo Yase Tzrochav Trei. The source is a warning against conducting marital relations in the units of two, meaning one after the other, being that it poses a danger of zugos. The Gemara asks, Amai, why do you look at that as a problem of zugos? Nimlach hu. Let us look at the Rashbam, Nimlachu, the Tashmish Rishon Gomro Biosol, Ubotel Tavaso. After the first act of relations, the person no longer has any desire. And the fact that he may that same evening engage in these relations a second time, that's not related to the first time, because after the first time, finished. As the Rashbam says, Botel Tavaso. So why does the source indicate that this represents a problem of zugos? So in fact, this does not represent a problem of zugos in and of itself, as will be explained. Omar Abaye, Hochi Ko'omar. Thusly, one should understand what the source was trying to say. And in our marking system, when we encounter restatements of Tanaic sources, we treat them as if they are Tanaic sources and frame that as well. Lo yochal trei v'yishta trei. A person is warned against eating units of two items or drinking two cups. V'lo yaset srocha v'afilu pam achas. If a person did eat units of two, he should not engage in marital relations at all, even once. Dilma cholish u'misra. Because after relations, a person experiences a sense of weakness. And in a state of weakness, the effects of the zugos can injure the person all the more. So that as a piece of good advice, a person who did stumble and consume zugos, he is advised not to engage in tashmish at all. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.